We have so much to be grateful for in our lives. In spite of the struggles or pain, strife, we still have so much to be grateful. I hope you have considered the journey of gratitude in this 21-day challenge. I am eager to hear from you about your experiences. There are new guides out there for this third week of the Gratitude Challenge. I won't embarrass you all and ask you if you've done the previous 7 days. Hopefully you've done all 7 days, or hopefully you've done 1 or 2 or 3 days. And if you haven't, do it, start this week and go through this challenge. Again, it's just going to be a repeat of what you just did the past 7 days. There is a great blessing in store for us when we consider the cultivating of gratitude in our lives, deeply wired into the spiritual DNA of God's people, is gratitude and thankfulness. So we should jump out of our seats at any opportunity to give thanks. It's like the psalmist who wrote Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. There is an acknowledgement in this psalm of praise that the Lord is good and his love endures not for a moment, not for a few minutes, not for a season, not just during the moments when we are good, but his love, goodness, his love endures forever. So even on a bad day, when we have reason to be grumpy or complaining, we have reason to be grateful. In a room this size, it is possible for us to do something a little different. I'm going to lead a prayer meditation in just a second, and after I read this prayer, I just want us to reflect on the goodness and the love of God. After a moment or so, I just want you, as you feel led, to just speak aloud and share with the group something or someone that you're grateful for. It could be one word. It could be one sentence. But go deep within and search in your garden gratitude. So after I read this prayer, I will ask you to speak up. Now, this prayer has the personal pronoun I in it. But as I read it, I want you to embrace these words as if you were saying this prayer, a gratitude prayer. All I can say is thank you, God. I thank you so much. I thank you for everything. I thank you for all that I am and for all the opportunities that are being provided for me at this time. I thank you for opening doors in front of me. I thank you for the all that is connecting us all the time. I thank you that I am open to receiving new ideas when you bring them to me, to receiving new opportunities as they arise, and to taking action on them to the fullest of my abilities. I thank you that I can see the light of your presence in everything around me, all that I experience and all that I dream of for this lifetime. I see the light of your presence in all that I do. I follow your inner guidance in directing me in my daily activities, thoughts, and outward projections of love from the heart. I see you in all things. Dear God, I thank you. I thank you for today and for each and every individual who crosses my path today. I thank you for tomorrow, the day after, and every single day after that until the end of my days, because I know that each day is a gift and a blessing from you. Every intuition and blessed thought that you bring to me is a blessing from you, and I thank you for all. Amen. What are you grateful for? Just go ahead and shout it out. It's all about perspective, isn't it? It's all about perspective. I mean, I could say I got a D on that exam. But I could say I passed it. I could say the Buffalo Bills lost 4 Super Bowls in a row. It's aggression, church. It's aggression. I could say they lost 4 Super Bowls in a row, or I could say at least they went to 4 Super Bowls, but it still hurts. Abraham Lincoln said, "We can complain because rose bushes have thorns, or rejoice because thorn bushes have roses." It's all about perspective. You might say, my job stinks. But you could say, I'm glad I have a job in this economy. It's all about perspective. Church, think about it. There is so much that goes on that irks us, bothers us, troubles us, hurts us, and confuses us. But it takes just a moment of reflection and a change of perspective that often pulls us out. Church, that is a place where gratitude really takes over. You begin to thank God for the circumstance, for the pain, and for the trauma. I'm not suggesting that we take the horrific things that have happened in our lives and take a spoonful of sugar and all will go away. I am suggesting that if God's love and goodness lasts and endures forever, then even in the horrible times, there is reason and place for gratitude. Last week, we talked a little about the importance of remembering. Remembering is at the core of gratitude. Once we are at a place of complaint or lament, it is helpful to remember our state. We should remember that we have been delivered and have survived bad circumstances. Dr. Robert Emmons, who we're leaning on his research for this sermon series, he wrote this, and quote, "In these ways, remembering the bad can help us to appreciate the good. As the German theologian and Lutheran pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, gratitude changes the pangs of memory into a tranquil joy." We know that gratitude enhances happiness, but why? Gratitude maximizes happiness in multiple ways, and one reason is that it helps us reframe memories of unpleasant events in a way that decreases their unpleasant emotional impact. This implies that grateful coping entails looking for positive consequences of negative events. For example, grateful coping might involve seeing how a stressful event has shaped who we are today and has prompted us to reevaluate what is really important in life, end quote. Some of us in here are aware that there were negative events and circumstances that helped shape who we are today. We wouldn't be who we are today if not for some of those negative things that took place in our lives. They have helped us to help others. They have given us reason to give God glory and praise even as the pain of the memories persist. And out of the pain rises grateful hearts, because it's all about perspective. I want us to focus for just a few more moments on the words of Paul the Apostle from the letter to the Thessalonians. Let's read together 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse number 16. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse number 16. Paul, writing to this group of Christians, says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. And may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." Hear the Apostle Paul say this to this church: give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to have to go ahead and do a Greek lesson, because when you look at the Greek word for the word in our English, all, you know what it means? It means all. Everywhere in the Bible where you see this Greek word for all, pontos, it means all. Paul says in every circumstance, all circumstances, not a portion, not the good ones, not just the bad ones, but all circumstances, give thanks. That seems counterintuitive, Paul. When junk happens in my life, I don't want to give thanks. I want to yell and scream and complain, and I want to get revenge. But Paul, who knew what rough life was about, was still able to teach the church to be grateful in all circumstances. The key, church, is perspective. Yes, I was a victim of a horrific crime, but I give thanks that I survived that horrific crime and have been able to use my experience in the healing process of others who have experienced that horrific crime. Yes, I had a loved one die, but I give thanks that I had someone to love. Yes, the money in my 401k is gone, but I thank God that I still have life and breath. Yes, my child has special needs, but I thank God that there are millions of people dedicated to serving the needs of children with special needs. Yes, recent research says that more and more people are not going to church and choose not to be affiliated with church. But I thank God that he has placed us in the middle of a community, and he has gifted all of us with so many different gifts and so many different talents. And he's blessed us with a heart that wants to engage people, that wants to bring people to Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm troubled by the research, but I'm thankful that God has put us here to make a difference. Church, it's all about perspective. And again, the reason I have challenged this church to consider gratitude is so that our collective perspective will be reoriented in the framework of gratitude. And all the while, we might just be more spiritual. The research says we might be healthier, happier, and useful. We might lose some weight. We may deal with rainy days better and be more accommodating of others who bug us. So may this church be a grateful church for all that God has done, all that God is doing, and all that God is planning to do. So, church, we need to shout for joy to the Lord. All the earth, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I had to go Hebrew on you. In the Hebrew Bible, when you see the Hebrew word for all, it means all generations. That includes us. His love endures for all generations. That's you and me, church. Famed poet Maya Angelou wrote this among her millions of beautiful words. She said, "Let gratitude be the pillow upon which you kneel to say your nightly prayer. And let faith be the bridge you build to overcome evil and welcome good. All that we do should be couched in gratitude. And it's about perspective. I have the incredible blessing every third Friday to go speak at Seton Square, Evelyn and Sally. I love going over there and hanging out with my, golden girls? Can I say that? Hanging out with my golden girls. It's a beautiful. And I love all the ladies, but there's this one woman besides Evelyn, that's my homie. That's my lady over there, right? But Bernie. I love Bernie, and that whole apartment complex loves Bernie. She's lived there close to 25 years, I believe. She just turned 100 years old. Just turned 100 years old. Still bakes. She made me some mincemeat cookies. You ever had mincemeat cookies? It sounds gross. Those cookies were delicious. She made me some cookies, but I don't know if it was right before her 100th birthday. She got sick and went to the hospital. And they told her she was going to die. And her family came in and moved all her stuff out of her apartment. I mean, she was in the hospital literally laying on her deathbed. And so it was interesting to then sit in this Bible study on Friday right next to Bernie and her telling me that, man, I was a goner. I was about to die. And so we were talking about gratitude on Friday night, and I said, let's just go around the table and let's just talk about what we're thankful for. And this 100-year-old woman simply said, life. She said, I should be dead. You need to let her tell you the story, because it's a very interesting story about her going in and out and the nurse saying, no, smell the roses, blow the candle out. And she just came to her family was around the bed crying because they thought this was her final moments. And she talks about after that, Bernie's a talker, and she said life, and she says, then I got moved to this nursing facility, and when I talk to people, I say, hey, love, and you know what, man, everyone else in the facility was starting to call each other love, and then there were nurses that were being overworked, and I just felt bad about them being overworked, so I got a chance to talk to the director of the facility about them being overworked, and she's just going on and on about all these things, and she brought it back and said, you know what? This is the reason God is preserving me. It's all about perspective. And she was able to give thanks for life, and that fueled her to then continue to make a difference in other people's lives. Church is all about perspective. When we become more grateful, when we cultivate a life of gratitude in our lives, we begin to see truly how God is going to use us in his restoration plan of this world. But it's all about perspective. Stop worrying about what you don't have and give high praise and thankfulness to God for all that you do have. Yes, we've all encountered losses, but man, we have so many gains. If you're sitting in here and you're struggling with a breakup of a relationship or breakup of someone in your life that's lost, I want you to look around. I want you to breathe in this closeness that we're feeling here right now. Give thanks for this intimacy. Give thanks for this body of Christ. Cultivate in your life this garden of gratitude. I guarantee when we do a church, we'll be healthier, we'll be more spiritual, will be more useful in this world. This is God's will for us. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and saving us. And God, we thank you for family, and we thank you for grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and we thank you for apple juice, and we thank you for church, and we thank you for salvation, and we thank you for forgiveness, and we thank you for so many things, God. We come over to this board, we look at all these things that you have. We thank you for Jesus, We thank you for being patient with us, God. We thank you for walking with us, God. We thank you for the church family, God. We thank you for kids being able to express their gratitude. Father, we are just overwhelmed by your goodness and your love. And we give you thanks and high praise. Father, it's all about perspective. And we pray that you would overcome our hearts and overcome our minds so that we can have changed perspectives. We know that when we are overcome and we submit to the power of the Holy Spirit, our perspectives will change. Father, give us hearts that's able to start with gratitude at the center and to go out from the center to have great impact on this community and this world. Father, we thank you for your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. That is my sermon this morning. If there is something that has touched you or something that you want to share with the body of Christ, there's something that you want to get right with someone else. If there's something you just want us to walk with you and pray with you or pray over you, we want to have that opportunity right now. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you want to confess Jesus, you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ, the baptistry has some 40-foot ladders in it. We will get you baptized. I promise you that. I will find some water, and we will baptize you. That's my commitment. So if you want to do that, I'm going to ask the elders to come forward, and we're going to spend some time singing this song of love. And if there's anything that the church can do for you, come as we stand and sing this song.